Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, in line with the things that I've been sharing this week, the Lord just placed on my heart to share a few passages on the Church of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we are His body, and I would like to begin by reading in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 19. Verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." In this particular verse, of course, Peter's referring to the great suffering that the Jews were soon to face. He knew his time was limited, and he wanted to prepare and warn the people of God. They were soon going to face that because the Lord gave a prophecy in Luke, the 21st chapter, 20 through 24, and that prophecy concerned the destruction of Jerusalem. And also, this verse has a reference to the persecutions by the Romans, which they'd experience in their lifetimes and would continue for some 200 years. And of course, these words apply to every time and every kind of trial and persecution that Christians have faced in the century since that time. Let me read now verse 13. "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy." This verse tells us that we are partakers of Christ's suffering. As believers, we suffer in fellowship with the Lord. We don't suffer as Christ did, because only He did that atoning work. But surely, we suffer persecutions and attacks and trials and lies and hatred vented against us from unbelievers. These persecutions are from the world, from the works of Satan against us. We do not and cannot be partakers of His atoning sufferings, that of our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer. Jesus alone could only take that penalty for our sins on Himself, thereby being the propitiation for our sins so we can be forgiven. Our suffering is sharing the sufferings that we experience for righteousness' sakes. And then in verse 14, it says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory," hallelujah, "and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." Praise God. When we are reproached for the name of Christ, beloved, that is going to be perhaps, that's the experience of many today, our brothers and sisters in other nations of this world. No one can be a true Christian, beloved, and be loved by the systems of this world. Jesus condemned the world's present order and thereby engenders the hate of ungodly men. Jesus said, you know, "They hated me, they're going to hate you." We should never be discomforted when we are persecuted for Christ. And then in verse 15, Peter says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." No child of God should ever be a busybody in others' people's business. God lists the busybody among some very terrible workers of darkness. But beloved, I want to talk to you about the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a living organism in this world to proclaim and to project or reflect Jesus Christ to the world. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what is the church? Well, that Greek word used for build by the Lord Jesus means to be a house builder, to construct, or figuratively to confirm, to be a builder, a building, to build up. Also, to edify and embolden. And that means, of course, to give courage to cause to be bold or bolder. And Jesus said, I will build my church. And he was speaking of not an organization, not a man-built building, but he would build his church, a spiritual church. And that English word church is taken from the Greek term ecclesia. It means a body of people who have been called together. It's a living organism called to worship the living God. Hallelujah. Now I want to share just some references in scripture about other designations, other words that are used to describe God's universal church. One, of course, is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And then in Ephesians 1:22-23, the church, which is his body, that scripture says, is the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Praise God. And then we are the bride of Christ. In Revelation 21:9, it says, an angel speaks to John. He says, come, I will show thee the Lamb's wife. And then in Ephesians 5:22-32, there's a beautiful parallel of Christ and his church with husbands and their wives. And then in Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9, the word says that the marriage of the Lamb, hallelujah, is come, and the bride has made herself ready. It's also called the church of God. In Acts 20 and 28, the overseers are directed to feed the church of God. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it talks about the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. It's family. The church is a family. Ephesians 3:15 says, when he's praying, Paul bows his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. And of course, Jesus beautifully speaks in the 10th chapter of John, verse 16, of one fold and one shepherd, that he had others that were not of that flock, but he would make gather them, and they would hear his voice, and there would be one fold and one shepherd. We are God's building in 1 Corinthians 3:9, labors together with him. We're also his field. We're God's husbandry and building. And we are a spiritual house that Peter talks about in the second chapter, verse 5. Praise the Lord. In fact, let me just read that in that second chapter. Verse 5, it says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Today, many Christians have been misinformed, or they've just never really thought about their purpose in the world. And Jesus gave us a great commission to make disciples of all men. Many think the building that they gather to meet in is the church. Beloved, the building you gather in is not the church. We are the church individually. And the church began with one accord. We see that throughout the book of Acts, the second chapter. They had singleness of heart, one soul. They were filled with the Spirit. And then we see in that fourth chapter, verse 31, that unity was a major element to the success of that early church. And beloved, when churches fail to have unity or singleness of heart, it grieves the Holy Spirit and hinders his work in the body. In Romans 12:16, it says, be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And then in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same things, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And then in Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 17, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, it says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Hallelujah. Praise God. Beloved, God is calling His church to a walk of unity, of perfection. I've been ministering and sharing about how God is beginning to deal with the individual members of His body. The Word says that judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. He is working, He is moving to touch hearts, to convict of unrighteousness. Let me just read just a few verses of 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of Christ? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appeal? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Well, I've just shared quite a few verses. We were talking about the body of Christ, the church, but Jesus is in the process of maturing His bride. May we surrender to God and submit to Him and be all that He would have us to be in this hour, that we will be that glorious bride that is ready for her husband when He comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a blessing to minister to you, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you so much for joining me. In a moment, the announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. If you're being blessed by the broadcast, just drop a note. Let me know you're listening. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for your prayerful support as well as financial gifts. Until next time, this is Sister Glasse. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.